Good morning. Guess what is the topic for today? Very soon here. We have only 13 more. Not much. And I would like to remind you that Peter, speaking about the spiritual gifts, he divided them in two groups. And he said if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides. And if you would like to find out what's your gift, you have to start from here. Well, let's imagine that we will have a conference. We will have to organize a conference, an outreach event in Chicago. And we need a lot of speakers, main speaker, a speaker of small groups, one who organized the conference, of course he has to use his tongue. A lot of speakers, but also we need more servants. Would you be in the team of speakers or would you be in the team of servants? And you immediately have to figure out what's your gift. It's one of the speaking or it's a gift of service. And Peter wanted to emphasize one more truth, very important in that passage, is that if you have a gift, I want just to remind you that it's not like you are having it in the stock. You are a chosen vessel. You are like a pipe of certain diameter. And God wants to express only certain specific qualities of his character. And that means that if you have a gift of speaking, you better keep such a close relationship with your God in order to listen what he's telling you and just to pass his words. And if you have a gift of service, you better keep a close relation with your master because you need the strength to do his service, his ministry, because otherwise you'll get tired and disappointed if you serve using your strength. So we'll start with the gift of leadership. And the Greek word for leadership is proistermin, which means to set or place before, to set over or to superintend. And the gift of leadership is this special ability to set goals, but in accordance with God's purposes. And not only to set those goals for the church, but also to be able to communicate the church to the church and to mobilize, to motivate the church to get involved in fulfilling those goals, to make them to have a lot of volunteers and to gather harmoniously all the gifts in one in order to fulfill those goals for the glory of Christ. And you know that the church is not getting the vision from the Lord except through the leaders. You maybe saw that God is not giving the vision to the whole church, but he's giving to the certain people, and they will communicate to the church his vision. So the leader is the one who has vision, but also he's the one who makes that goal to come true, because it's not only the person who has ideas, even the kids have ideas, but they bring those goals to the full fulfillment, to they make happen things happen. So the leader is the one who has vision and who has authority given from God, and God is the one who keeps his authority, and in time he will gain trust from his church, because the respect is given, but the trust is gained. So the leader, according Acts chapter 2, we can take Peter as an example. is the one who takes initiative. He speaks with boldness and authority. He gives directions, and as a result, people will ask directions from them, and will listen to him, will follow him. A leader is the one who leads according biblical way of leadership. You know that the one who wants to be greater should be servant of all. And that's why he leads through his example. And you can see that in most of the Paul's letters, that he was saying, follow me. Just do what I am doing, and God will be with you. So the leader is the one who leads through his example. He will not waver from his vision. He will lead through gentleness. He will have right motives, as Peter said in 2 Peter, not greedy and not having hidden motives. And that's why he's one who will be followed, because he's not prejudiced, he's not partial, and those kind of leaders we need in the church. Let's see what's the difference between the ministry and the position. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. How we recognize the leader? First, he leads through the word of God. That's the right leadership. The second, look at their way of life. They are recognized by their way of life. And they have a faith which can be imitated. So, but doesn't mean that a ministry is the same as position. You can have a ministry long before you got the position, because the ministry you receive from the Lord together with your gift. And that's why you can start serving the Lord just when you received the gift. That means when you came to know Christ. And after that, the church will recognize you and you will put you in a position of elder or pastor or in some position of leadership. How we recognize the leader? Deuteronomy 1:13 says they are wise, they have understanding, and they are respected. So they have a name before they got the position. Again, if you lost the position, that doesn't mean that you lost the ministry. That's the confusion, because if an elder is, he just ended his period of leadership, doesn't mean that he doesn't have the position continue to minister the church. And with regret, I want to repeat myself that I see many pastors or elders or deacons, when the position is taken from them, they leave the ministry, and that's totally wrong. So we have the ministry from Christ, and we have to stay in this. And how we recognize the elders, look first, as 1 Timothy 3:4 says, look first to their family. He must manage his family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert or may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. That's how we choose them. And the leader is the visionary of the church. People with this gift, they provide direction for God's people or ministry. They take responsibility and establish goals, and also cast the vision and present the big picture for others to see. They motivate others to perform the best of their abilities, And also they like to initiate some form of action, new project, and direct the efforts of the group. And they are, together with administrators, they are doing those five organizational steps, which means first, vision. Second, it's not enough to know where to go, but also how to go. That's why it's needed a strategy. It's how. But also, if you have a strategy, you have to put it in time. You have to schedule your action. That means plans for when. Also, the leaders are those who see the needs of resources, human or financial. And after that, they have to evaluate their work to see what is going good and what not, and why is not going so good. So these are the five steps of leadership. What's the difference between a leader and a boss? First, a boss is interested in results more than in people. But the leader is interested in people more than their results. Second, the boss leads through authority and creates fear. But the leader leads through personal example and cooperation, and that's why he creates respect. The boss will say, me, but the leader will say, us, and he's a team player. The boss, he knows how to do things, but the leader, he explains, he shows how to do. And, of course, the boss is pushes from the back, and the leader leads from the front. And now, let's see, if you are a leader, how you can recognize the gift of leadership in you. Look if you have initiative in you, and if you know the vision for if you have the vision for this church, you know the steps which needs to be taken to move the church to the next level, and look also if the people are following you. And from your experience, just analyze yourself if everything that you started, you just brought to the happy end, I would say, to the fulfillment. And God demands from the church a special attitude toward leaders. And Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be no advantage to you. And also respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Why God says that? Because here is the problem. Many churches got split because of the leaders. Because some leader didn't want to be number two, he wanted to stay number one, and they split the church. And you know that the problems are not new. Even in the Old Testament, even the patriarchs, they were jealous with Joseph, and they sold them. Or, you know, also the problem between Miriam, Aaron, and Moses. Miriam said, look at you. You are so good speaker. Who is Moses? Who is Moses? Why the leadership should go through him if you are a good, a better preacher? You can preach. You can just lead these people. And God got angry because he wants us to be in a team. So, now, I was good with leadership. I went really fast. Let's go with the administration. What's the difference between the administrator and the leader? It's the same like asking you, what's the difference between a captain of the ship and a pilot? Because in the Bible, only in few places you find administrator translated as administrator from Greek, from the Greek kubernetes. But in other places, the same word is translated to pilot, to steer a ship. So the captain is the one who gives the vision, who gives the course, and the pilot is the one who obeys and makes the ship to follow that course. They work together. And I have a gift of leadership, and I'm lost without an administrator. Because I have always need an administrator who works with details. Because the leader, he's not so good at the details if he doesn't have the gift of administration. The gift of administration is the special ability to receive vision from the leader and to manage details carefully and thoroughly and to make the job done, to get the job done, to understand the immediate and long-range goals clearly, and to devise and execute effective plans to the accomplishment of those goals. And you know, from Luke 14:28, when Jesus says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower, will he not first sit down, estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? That's the job of administrator, the one who works with the details, who estimates, who takes the vision, but also, after that divides the vision and plans and look up details, thinks about resources needed, and makes that vision to come true. Also, in Matthew 25, you know about the master who went, but he entrusted his possession to his slaves to administrate it. And he gave them freedom to administrate his possession, and that's also the role of administration. The role of administration is crucial for a church if you want to keep the order in this church. The administrator is the one who will do that. And people with this gift, they will develop strategies or plans to reach identified goals. They will assist ministries to become more effective and efficient, and they will do the right things, but also they will do things right. They will create order out of organizational chaos, and also they will manage and coordinate a variety of responsibility to accomplish a task, because they are good in organizing people, not only people, tasks or events. And that's why you have them as a head of deacons, or as a finance committee, or a church secretary, and they are needed in the church. And as I said, no leader will ever succeed without administrator, and they work together. The next gift is the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom, the gift of word of wisdom, is formed from two words. First, logos, which means word, and wisdom is sophia, means the divine precept, full intelligence. So the logos means the spoken word, the uttered by a living voice, and the divine precept. How they come together? What does it mean, the gift of word of wisdom? That's a special ability to know the mind of Christ or the mind of Holy Spirit, and to receive insight, to receive that wisdom and to apply it in the most needed time. And you find in the Bible wisdom is connected with power. For example, when Daniel was praying to God, he said, Lord, I praise you because you gave me wisdom and power. And I will read one passage from Ecclesiastes 9:14. A story, actually, there was once a small city with only a few people in it. And a powerful king came against it, surrounded it, and built huge siege works against it. Now there lived in that city a man, poor but wise, and he saved the city by his wisdom. And look what Solomon said. He said, wisdom is better than strength. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. And Paul said also that I didn't come to you just to amaze you with my wisdom or with worldly wisdom, but the heavenly wisdom is full of power. And the one who has the gift of word of wisdom is the one who shows that power. Let's read more verses to understand what is this gift all about. Colossians 4:5 says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer to everyone. The man with this gift know how to answer to everyone. Let's look how we recognize them. They are God's voice in the time of need. People with this gift, they focus on unseen consequences in determining the next step to take, and they receive of understanding what is necessary to meet the needs of the body and provide very simple, practical solution in the midst of conflict and confusion. They hear the Spirit and provide direction for God's best in the given situation and apply spiritual truth in specific and practical ways. Example, Solomon. He received wisdom, and you know, by the way, how he received wisdom. He had a dream. He had a simple dream. And in that dream, he asked for wisdom, and God gave him wisdom. And the next day, do you know what he did? He made a big celebration. He just invited all his friends, his officials, and he made a big celebration celebrating that God gave him wisdom. How did he receive the wisdom? Through faith. He just believed in that dream. Did you ever have a dream and next time you came and spent $10,000 to have such a celebration with your friends that you had a dream? So it's the same nowadays, because James said if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask from God who is giving to everyone and he will receive, but he must believe. So Solomon believed. And of the next day, he had a situation. Two women brought a child. And they said they had a big problem, a quarrel, and nobody could decide to whom belonged that child. And even Solomon could not decide because he wasn't a witness. But he had the word of wisdom. And he said, just cut it in two and divide it. And immediately the mother's heart was revealed, was exposed. And that's the word of wisdom, to solve a situation which seems to us that is without solution. Or for example, a woman was caught in adultery and was brought to Jesus, and they said, the law commanded us to on such woman, what do you say, teacher? And they knew that he was full of mercy. And now they thought, we cut him. Oh, now he doesn't have any answers, because anything that he will answer will be against him. But he said, If any one of you is without sin, let him first, let be first in throwing a stone to that woman. Or, should we pay taxes to Caesar? And he said, just give Caesar what belongs to him, and to God give what belongs to God. And you can see the word of wisdom in the time of conflict, in the time of need. It's God's voice. After that, you can think hundreds of years and you will not find a better answer. And we need people with the word of wisdom in our church, because we'll discuss a problem and we'll have many opinions, but when he will stand up and will bring a word of wisdom, everyone will be silent and no one could add anything, because that's the precept coming from God. That's the voice of God in the midst of need, of conflict, of confusion. And we need these people in our church, in our committees, and on our board. Let's see what the difference between the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, because there is another gift which is called the word of knowledge. The gift of word of knowledge, and knowledge is the Greek gnosis, which means general intelligence, the understanding. So means logos gnosis is the one who has a word of understanding. The gift of knowledge is especially a special ability that God gives to certain members of the church to discover, accumulate, analyze, and clarify information and ideas, and present them in a very simple way to the church, and to give opportunity to the church to grow. You will say, but what's the difference between a teacher and the gift of word of knowledge? The one who have the gift of word of knowledge is the one, this man, he will go deeper in the Word of God, and he will prepare, he will bring the structure, he will give all the materials for the teacher to communicate that truth, that knowledge to the church. Let's see why the knowledge is so important. And we'll read 2 Peter 1 from 2 to 8.
Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
In Hosea 4:6,
my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you.
Usually the people who read one verse would say, which will say that the knowledge passed up and we don't need it. But they will forget about the meaning and the, actually the true value of knowledge. Because the grace and peace can abide in you only through knowledge. You can receive everything that God prepared to you through knowledge. If you remember the parable about the one who sowed the seed, you know that in the end, even the good soil didn't bring equal amount of fruits. The number of fruits were different. Some brought 100, some 60, and some 30. Why? Because that depends from understanding, how much you understand the scripture. And that's why if you look intently to this passage, you will see that the goodness, the godliness, the self-control abides in you through knowledge, and knowledge keeps you for being ineffective. And the people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. And that's why we need knowledge. And we need those who bring knowledge and who bring the scripture in a way that we will love. It will not be boring. It will be something attractive. And many times the Bible was rejected because somebody presented the Bible in not an interesting way. And that's why these people, they learn easily, and they recall the material accurately and in detail. They discover biblical truth, which enables them to better serve the body, and they have a deep love for the scripture, and they enjoy digging deeper in the Bible for inside understanding and truth, carefully study and research subjects they want to understand better, and they organize information for teaching and practical use. So what's the difference between them and teachers? They are in colleges, they are in seminaries, they are preparing materials for us. I'll be lost without them because I use Bible Work 7. That's a perfect for me program to prepare everything that I'm doing. But somebody with the gift of knowledge work on that material. They just analyze, group that material, put in a way that I can use. Who are those who have a word of knowledge? They are those who translate the Bible. They are those who wrote different encyclopedias or dictionaries or Bible study materials, or they are those who are in colleges teaching us, teachers, how to teach. We are working in a very close relationship, and they are our best friends. So now let's see two more gifts, and we will set a record today. We will cover six spiritual gifts. I group them in group of two. The gift of administration and leadership, because we can understand them if we put together. The gift of word of wisdom and gift of word of knowledge. And now the third group is the gift of health and service and the gift of mercy. Helps and service, yeah. The gift of health and service, two Greek words are used for help is diakonia, for service is diakonia, and for help is antilepsis. And the meaning is the same. Service, ministering, to take a burden upon yourself, to be a slave, and a laying hold of. So, in other words, they are helpers. They are those who come to help. The gift of service is the special ability to identify and meet unmet needs involving a task related to God's work, and to make use of available resources to meet those needs and help accomplish the goals of the church. And it's easy to understand those gifts because we have good examples in the Bible. For example, Onesiphorus. I know that it's a very well-common, well-known name here in America, but he's the one who helped Paul in Ephesus. And he helped him there, and he came and looked for him in Rome, and he found him, and he served him. And if you read the letters, Paul's letters, you'll find that he always had helpers with him. So a teacher is lost without a helper too. So you can see that we can lose the teacher very easily if he will not have the word of knowledge, will not have somebody with the gift of health, because everything that we are doing is a teamwork. We cannot do anything alone. And he had Onesiphorus helping him everywhere, but also he had Epaphroditus. The one who was sent from Philippi to take care of Paul's needs. So he wasn't sent to lead or to speak or to preach or to. He was sent by the church from Macedonia to take care of Paul. And Paul said, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. From Acts 6, we understand the helpers helped the elders to remain focused on the word of God and on the prayer, and they took a part of their responsibilities to let them focus on their priorities. So the helpers, they can be in the role of deacons, and not necessary to have the position, because you can help and you can serve without having the position. You know about John, or also called Mark, the one who caused a conflict between Barnabas and Paul. Because once that John, he left them. In the time of need, in the time of danger, he just left them. And Paul didn't want to take him anymore with him, but Barnabas pleaded him not to leave this disciple. And as a result, we found in 2 Timothy, get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. And also we will find when they went to Salamis, which is Cyprus, with Barnabas, John was with them as their helper in Acts 13:5. So as a result, that helper was everywhere Paul helping him, and you'll find in Romans 16, 1-2 about Phoebe, the diaconess, she helped many people, and Paul said that he has been a great help to many people, including me. So we need many, many helpers, many servants, and praise the Lord that this church has a good, organized team of helpers. And I was so pleased to find out that we are organizing a whole ministry in the church to have these helpers in the time of need. When somebody has need, just to call the office and to send people to help them. People with this gift, they find the small and practical things that need to be done, and they enjoy, they simply enjoy doing them without being asked even. They sense God's purpose a special meaning in fulfilling regular and needed hands-on tasks, and have pleasure in meeting everyday responsibilities, and they enjoy doing routine tasks in the church that would be bore others. And they would rather do a job than find someone else to do it. And people with this gift, you'll find them everywhere, because we cannot identify what their job, because we have different needs, and they are eager to help with everything that we need. What's the difference between the gift of serving with the gift of mercy? Let's look now to the next gift of mercy. The Greek word for mercy is eleo, and means to have compassion, to show kindness, to feel sympathy of heart. The gift of mercy is that ability to feel genuine empathy and compassion for individuals, and it doesn't matter if they are Christians or non-Christians, who suffer physical, mental, or emotional problems, and to translate that compassion into cheerfully done deeds that reflect Christ's love and alleviate the suffering. God's throne is called the seat of mercy. And you know that Jesus, when he was looking to the crowd, he felt that mercy. And he was looking at them as a flock without a shepherd. And he always was helping them. He actually was weeping when he was seeing the needs. And that's why the gift of mercy is like God's presence in the time of need. We are sensual people, and we are praying to God, worshiping to God, but sometimes we need somebody to comfort us. We need somebody to weep with us. We need somebody who will feel the same. And we will need that person near us, and those are people who have a gift of mercy. They are very sensitive. They are people who feel your pain. They will feel the same as you feel. And it's not hard to present this gift because we have a very good example in our church, John Rickland, the one who has this gift. And that's why we can see a special heart. And I know when I was in a time of distress, those people were near me, comforting me. And you know that you feel this help, because you can see that he's weeping, he's feeling the same as you feel. He has the same pain, and they are like balm for our wounds. We need them. We simply need them, and they will organize others to pray for us, to keep us in their focus. And now let's imagine an illustration to identify all these gifts. Let's say that you need to carry a weight a certain distance. And the one who has the gift of health will come and will lift up that weight and will help you. The one who have a word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, will write a book with the instructions how to carry the burden till the end. The one who is a teacher will come and will teach you how to make step by step, and will give instruction and will explain everything. The one who have a gift of mercy will organize the whole church to pray for you, and will organize help, and he will be around you, he will weep around you, he will get sweat with you. But the one who has the word of wisdom will come and will point to a carriage and will say, look, use that. The gifts are given to the church to live better, to prepare for God, for Jesus coming, to fulfill his goals, and to have that sense of happiness which God designed for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you have given to us all the needed gifts, and you empowered us, and you gave part of your mightiness. You just divide your character among us, and we now can experience the same love, and we can experience the same joy in serving each other. And you want us effective. You design your church, you'll grow it, you'll change it, you'll do mighty things for your church. And that's why just give us that wisdom and understanding that we should apply everything that you has given to us in a full measure. And just use our gifts and be happy in what we are doing. We ask in Jesus' name to bless this church and to prepare our hearts and to work with us in a mighty way. Amen.